Let's talk hockey. Jay Hahn joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, jhahn4. That's H-A-H-N. And, of course, he's the co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. How you doing, Jake?
Doing great, guys. It's playoff week for the NHL. Now, we have to wait till Saturday for some actual playoff games, but I didn't think we'd be talking this morning and already know the 16 teams in the postseason. Yes. It's been so close all year. The West wildcard race has been tight. The East race has been very tight. I figured this would take until Wednesday night, heck, maybe Thursday night for the Western Conference. So we actually have our teams now. There's still a lot of positioning that can be done, different matchups that could potentially happen over the next few nights. But as we sit right now, we already know our 16 teams that are going to be dancing come Saturday.
Yes, we do. We know the 16 teams. Now, we don't know wildcard one or wildcard two in the East. We don't know that in the West. We also don't know a division winner in the West, specifically in the Pacific, where the Knights with 93 points, right? One division is not like the other three, sit atop currently with three games left. But we do have three series that we do know are going to start. One of which is the Atlantic second place and Atlantic third place teams, the Canadiens and the Lightning. What a series that is to open the playoffs. What are your thoughts on that?
So this, look, any combination we were going to get in the Atlantic was going to be really tough to predict. Buffalo, Montreal, Tampa, those three teams have been fighting out now for a while. And ultimately now we do know we are going to get Montreal and Tampa Bay. Now I'd expect Tampa to be the favorite in this series. We still need to decide home ice advantage. And that's still on the line for these teams the next couple of games. But let's assume Tampa gets home ice advantage. They should be a decent sized favorite in this series. There's just something about Montreal guys come postseason time, no matter how good the team is. It feels like they have a little bit of magic. Now, this is also a rematch of a Stanley Cup final from one of the COVID years where we got some weird divisions, and it ended up that division teams actually played each other in the Cup final. Things were a little bit fractured that year. Now Tampa won that easily. This is a totally different version of the Montreal Canadiens. Now they do have a lot of young talent in this roster, a lot of players that have taken a step, a 50 goal scorer now in Cole Caulfield. Unfortunately, it looks like Noah Dobson on the back end will be out for this series for the Montreal Canadiens. That's a real tough loss defensively for them. So depending on the price, I think I might have a little play on the Habs, and at least in certain situations throughout this series, I will be playing the Montreal Canadiens at plus money. I think it's going to be a long series. Maybe Tampa comes out top in the end, but I think this one's going at least 6 or 7.
Habs are 2-1. The Lightning are -245 favorites. Canadiens, $2 coming back. You like that price?
I do like that price. I do like that price on Montreal. I think it should be a lot closer. I understand Tampa being the favorite. I totally get it. They've got, you know, a lot of top players at key positions. Vasilevsky between the pipes. We know he's been a difference maker for years now. And Nikita Kucherov, you could argue, should win the Hart Trophy this year. One of the most talented players in the league. So all those things point towards Tampa. You know, you look at coaching with John Cooper, what he's been able to do with this team. Was a Team Canada coach at the Olympics. So Tampa's got a lot of things going for them here, guys. But I just think that this division all year has proved that there's not much separating these teams, that, you know, when they go head to head, Montreal could win, Tampa, Buffalo could win. There's just not much between these teams. You could even extend that to Ottawa and Boston in the wildcard positions of Atlantic Division teams as well. So I don't think anybody should be 2-1 in a series with any of these teams.
The randomness of hockey, again, stats by Lopez, shout out, in order for 80% of NBA favorites in series, best of sevens get through, in order for 80% of hockeys to get through, you got to play a best of 51. It just speaks to the randomness of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's go through the other two series that are set already and get your thoughts on that. So Tampa Bay and Montreal in the East, the A2 and A3, the Atlantic 2 and the Atlantic 3, the Metropolitan second place and third place, the Penguins and the Flyers. Talk about old school hockey right here. Penguins are a -170 series price favorite, Flyers +140 on the comeback.
My Flyers, guys, I have to say I have a little bit of bias involved here. I have a very good friend that's on this team right now. He's played a couple of games. He's been a healthy scratch the last few games. He's actually most likely to get into tonight's game against Montreal, as they're going to be resting some players, and probably had a little bit of a party last night in Philadelphia as they clinched that playoff spot. So looking ahead to that series, Battle of PA, you know, we're going way back to, you know, the early Crosby days. They had some great series between these two teams, maybe a little bit of a different looking series. series. But expect Philly to try to lock it down a little bit. Pittsburgh wants to open it up. So I'm curious what sort of style ends up coming through in this one. But I'm looking forward to it. I think Philly's got a legitimate chance. I feel like all year I've been thinking Pittsburgh is going to make the second round. Now that we're here and I'm breaking down the series and Philly's coming in with a lot of momentum, guys, I certainly give them a shot in this one. I'd lean Pittsburgh, but I don't love that price. I don't think they should be that big of a favorite. I think where you jump in on Pittsburgh, they're going to have home ice advantage here. If we see a 1-1 split, Philly's able to win one of those games, you are going to see the price come down on Pittsburgh after two games. I think that's where I'd be willing to jump in on the Penguins in this series.
All right. The only other one we know is in the Central, the 2 and the 3 there, the Stars and the Wild. This one is as close to a coin flip as it gets in terms of a series price. Stars are minus 125.
So at one point, a couple of weeks ago, the Wild were playing some really solid hockey. Dallas was not at all. And some of that was injury related for the Dallas Stars. Now they've been getting some players back into that lineup. I would expect them to rest players their last game of the season because they have been very banged up, guys. And some key players, including Mikko Rantanen, have been out of the lineup for extended periods of time. This is a tough one. This is one we've had a lot of time to think about because it honestly feels like since Christmas, we knew these two teams were going to meet. It was just a matter of who has home ice advantage. Dallas has had the recent playoff success, multiple conference final appearances. Minnesota has had no playoff success to speak of really in the history of their franchise. I got a gut feeling this is the year that Minnesota bucks the trend, guys. I think they have the players to do it. I am a little bit worried about down the middle of the ice, how they match up against the Dallas Stars. So I'm going to have a little bit of interest in the Minnesota Wild in that series. I think they caught a tough deal last year. I thought they were very good in the first round against Vegas, just couldn't find a way to win that series. I think this could be the year we see a playoff series win for Minnesota.
You like this playoff format? Tim Bowers on Twitter earlier was like, I don't like it because Edmonton has a clear path. You don't like it. You don't like it at all.
No, I don't. I think most hockey fans still want 1 versus 8. If you grew up, if you grew up in my era, if you grew up in an era even before mine, you like it just cuts so clean, guys. I think a lot of casual fans that want to jump in this time of the year as well, look at it. It gets a little confusing.
It is.
You get the same teams every year. Edmonton and LA, all of a sudden, it looks like they might meet again for the 100th time in a row, it feels like. So you do get tired of sort of the same matchups. At the very least in the East, guys, we are getting some fresh blood this year. Buffalo in there. We're seeing some different teams. Philly and Pittsburgh have been great stories. So that part of it's been nice this year.
All right, slim pickings. There are three more games, but there is some motivation. You have a few picks tonight?
So you can play these any sort of way that you want, but I'm looking for teams that still have something to play for. We know everybody's clinched up their playoff spot now, but there is still seeding. There's home ice advantage. I mentioned with Montreal, still battling with Tampa for home ice advantage in that series. I think Philly is going to have a skeleton-like roster tonight. They are having a bit of a party last night after they clinched. They also have nothing to play for. They can't move up or down. I like Montreal in that game, just a more motivated team. Utah as well. I like the Mammoth as a favorite tonight. Again, they want that Wild card one. Wild card one is so important over wild card two. The Jets are officially done right now. Yeah. So Mammoth a lot to play for, and the Kings in Vancouver still looking for positioning as well. And even though they clinched last night, I don't think they're going to stop here. They want to avoid that wild card two spot, just like Utah, who I just mentioned.
Habs, Mammoth, and Kings. Kelly's Mammoth, part of that trio.
Sweet Zamboni.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jake. Very yes. Exciting time of year. Appreciate it.
Good stuff, guys. Next week, we'll be talking some playoffs.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro. A numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Skill Alexander. All right, there's Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself? Anything?
Good morning. That's all good. I got to say.
It's a good start.
There's always interesting things going on at the casino.
Oh, explain.
I don't know. There's like some photo shoot going on at the craps table right now. I don't really get.
Explain. Guy.
Guy dressed up very nice in a suit. Looks very young. And there's photographers and he's by himself throwing dice.
Suit or tuxedo?
Suit. Oh, it's a black suit, white shirt. I thought there was a bow tie, not a bow tie.
Thought it was like a James Bond thing.
Mm-hmm.
We get tweets beating the book. Vegas regular, the Barry's steak is incredible. 12-ounce rib cap.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Barry's. Harold Irving, you gave that wrestling story a special delivery. See what he did there? Ryan Thompson, Hard not to lose a little respect for anybody over the age of like 15 that watches wrestling. You said it, Ryan. That Ryan said that, not me. Wrestling
yeah,
people.
Right, yeah.
John Balduzzi. Love the Masters Pod with Kelly and Matt. Great chemistry between y'all. You should do a show together on VSiN. greatest yeah, show ever canceled in the history of mankind. Las Vegas 514. Yo, Special Delivery Jones. You know that SD Jones? That's what it stands for. That's what it stood for. Special Delivery Jones. Fun fact, he lost to King Kong Bundy in 11 seconds at WrestleMania 1. Talk about getting destroyed. Sheesh. There you go. A little WrestleMania history. Ryan Hyde, going to need those derby horse cocktail pairings. Oh, horse slash cocktail beer pairings. When Drew joins Gil and Kelly this morning, does Chief Wallaby equal a Harvey Wallbanger? This is the break. This breakdown will be my best shot at putting together a solid card in a few weeks. Well,
gotta love stealing deep dive content too.
That's
you
right.
Know?
With that intro, ladies and gentlemen, Drew Dinsick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. You can hear by his exhale right there, he is prepping for a spectacular answer to this question. He is the co-host of the Deep Dive Podcast and, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. What's happening, Drew?
Oh, not too much. It's NBA playoffs at long last. And, you know, if you can't get excited for this time of year, then I don't know what's wrong with you. We just had one of the greatest weekends in sports with the Masters, right into NBA playoffs, into NFL draft next week. Like, this is
spectacular.
Yeah, this is the best sports month of the year.
Well, that's interesting. I'll go October, but I understand where you're coming from on this. By the way, what's your greatest moment in play in history? Yeah, I don't have one either. I don't remember any of them. Do you remember a single play in game?
Yeah. I typically crush these play ins betting game by game. So I have fond memories of these NBA play in games. Now I've jinxed myself by saying that out loud. I should have just kept to myself there, but, big best play-in moment. There was a super competitive game between the Warriors and the Lakers one year for the seventh seed or the eighth seed. I don't remember.
It was a solid
answer. The Chicago Bulls
my favorite game. There was one, I think it was two years ago where the Heat were in the 7-8. And their offense was just like flat out broken. And they were playing a team with a good defense. And it was like the total was like adjusted down from a regular season total, like 4 or 5 points. And it was like, guys, the Heat are not scoring on them. And they're going to pack it in and save it up for the eight, nine game at some point here. And like, you know, when you mapped out like what the all under ought to be priced, it was like off by 50 cents. And then sure enough, the Heat were not competitive in that one, pulled all their starters in the fourth quarter. And that one was fond memory for me.
Once again, in the interest of thoroughness, for those who may not know, the winner of the 7-8s become the 7 seed in the respective conference playoffs. The loser gets to play the winner of the 9-10 in that respective conference for the 8 spot in that respective conference playoffs. The loser of the 9-10 is eliminated. Now, tonight... And yesterday I went through the 5-6 year history of the play-ins. Tonight we have a very quirky one. This has never happened before. We have a 10-9 in the East. We have a 7-8 in the West because the Sixers have an arena conflict with the Flyers tonight. So Hornets favored by 6 against the Heat. Suns favored by 3.5. You see the respective totals on the screen. What did you end up doing with these two tonight?
The Hornets Heat total to me is way too high. And this is going one way against me. So that always feels great. But yeah, it was I take it back. You know what? It's coming back down.
What are you saying now?
Interesting that 229 now. It was like it looked like it was on its way to 231 for a minute there. Coming back down now. All right. Well, either way, I think that should be about 222. I'm well off the pace projection here. The Miami Heat are the fastest team in basketball. I don't know if anyone knows that. Is that common knowledge that they play at the fastest pace?
We don't generally generally talk pace in the NBA.
When we get to this point in the season. I'm like, I ask myself these same questions. I'm like, do people know this? Like, I don't know about things like this.
Yeah, because it's atypical of how you would think of a Spolstra team, but they play at the quickest pace, 103.4 on the season. Hornets play at one of the slower paces in basketball, 96.8. I'm only projecting 95 possessions per team here. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I think this is going to be a really competitive game. This to me has, it is an elimination game. I think it's going to be relatively close in the fourth quarter. I think you could see this pace absolutely slow to kind of game seven type of value per possession, where you absolutely have to get the best look on every possession. The Hornets have never really been in this position before. So even though I have them rated as a significantly better team than the Heat, I'm nervous about them winning this game. And I think in general, the value betting wise is on the under here. Again, my fair is 222. So I'm going to bet the under at close, and I'm going to probably swing on some alt unders down to 222.5.
I asked this of Kelly earlier. I'll ask this of you. If the Hornets lose this game and eliminate and are eliminated from the playoffs, and I'll even pair it with the Clippers tomorrow, will all the NBA hardos get in a room together and just reconsider everything about life?
I mean, the Hornets are, they were like 10 games under 500 and January 4th. They were 25-1 to make the playoffs at that time. Don't ask me how I know that. Yeah. And I definitely think like the advanced stats were basically saying like, this is a good team. They just are playing poorly and playing unlucky. There were a couple players that they were giving real minutes to, who just were wicked inefficient, like didn't belong on the court with the rest of these guys, like tanking team type of performances. And they made the adjustments to kind of get things right, and they started winning. And I don't think the signal that you see with the Hornets is false. They're a young team. Their defense is weak.
I want you all to be right. I want the Hornets to win so we can see a Hornets playoff series, because I want to see your guys' thoughts on them manifest in a postseason series. One-offs are one-offs.
It just makes the East so much more interesting if they're in it. Yes.
Anything on the Suns and the Blazers play in the 7-8 out West?
I'm on the Suns there. I think that number should be 5.5. And I'm pretty excited that we get a crack at 3 here. Don't get it. Blazers are a fine team, but I think the Suns actually measure up fairly well to test the Spurs in a 2-7 series. So like this Suns team a lot more than the market. They've had people kind of look at the way that their season has gone, and in particular the portion of the season where they didn't have Dylan Brooks. Like that was a rough stretch for these guys. But when you just put together a neutral rating with the players they have available, this is like almost a +5 team for me. So I would not dismiss them as being able to do something interesting in the second round of the playoffs. That said, I think they get a clean win against the Blazers here. This has the whiff to me of a team, of a game that, the Blazers are well out of it in the fourth quarter. And so we see them pull their punches and save it up for the 8-9 game.
I loved last week when I asked you, what lines of a series are you looking forward to exploiting? And you said, it's not what I'm looking forward to exploiting. It's, do I have the onions to play the Suns against the Spurs in a 7-2, even if my numbers point that direction? What about tomorrow night's games? The 7-8 in the East, the Sixers and the Magic. Magic lose to an undermanned Celtics team on the final day of the regular season to have to play the road game here. And then the 9-10 out West, Warriors, Clippers. Anything on those two?
I mean, just for the record, the Magic didn't lose to an undermanned Celtics team. They lost to the Maine Lobster Claws in one of the most ridiculous results of the entire year.
Incredible.
I couldn't believe that happened. I looked at my phone like 5 times, like, this is a mistake. This was a game that was actually played earlier in the season. This wasn't Sunday's game. But no, sure enough, the Celtics are tryhards. Can't ever count them out. Biggest edge on the board for me of all of the playoff games is in this game. And it is the total. 221. Are we serious? This in every way shapes up as a first 220 wins. You have to be a bit careful in these 7-8 games, because there is a lot of worlds where the fourth quarter is not a neutral game state. It is a unusual game state where one team is incentivized to save their bullets for the next game. That said, the Sixers are an incredibly efficient offense. The Magic do not have the defensive prowess that they have had in years past. The Magic offense actually matches up incredibly well against the Sixers defense. Sixers are a bad defense. I'm a bit surprised that we're getting a look at a total this low. This has like all over written all over it, in my opinion. So love the over in Magic Sixers.
Okay. Dubs Clippers, anything? Anything? No? Promise?
Do we really have to play that game?
We don't. We're not required to. No, just because it's there, we're not required to. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, and of course, the BetUS Baseball Betting Show, which he does with his cohorts over there at BetUS. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Mark?
Gil, I'm kind of depressed, actually. So like I was all pumped up to do the Sonny Gray rap, that, you know, sunny, sunny, sunny. Can't you see the pitches you throw hypnotize teams? And I was just like, I was going to do maybe like a full version of it. But then you dropped. I was listening to the show coming into the office today, and you dropped a halfway home, the pagers blowing up reference to Ice Cube song. And I said, I can't outdo that. There's just no way.
I don't even remember doing it, but I now but that you mention it, I do.
You were talking about some guy's four-team parlay. Yeah. And I
said
thought,
he's halfway home.
It took me a while, but it was brilliant. Yeah. I thought that was the most brilliant rap illusion of the show. And I've attempted maybe 15 of them in the last year. So good job on that.
I can't really take credit for it. It's more, you remember the first HBO scripted show was a show called Dream On,
yeah.
And it was about this guy who just thought in movies. That just, it just comes out. I can't really even explain it. It's a little spectrum-y, I think. Mark, let me ask you a question here. Someone said on Twitter yesterday, they were like, he said, I feel like baseball season started yesterday. And I think because it was a lot of runs scored, big run scoring environment yesterday. It's been super, you know, a lot of parity in baseball up until this point, with the exception of the Dodgers. So I ask you two questions. One is, do you feel like baseball started yesterday? I know for you, it probably doesn't feel that way. Are the Dodgers just going to do this all season long? I guess that's where I want to start. They're 12-4 out of the gate. They're looking like they might make a mockery of the March, April, and the April wins markets. They're great. We know they're great. But like last year, they didn't have this spectacular season where they won 100 games. They leveled off at 98 because they were just like, as long as we keep the Padres at bay. Do you think they're going to have an epic season this year and flirt with numbers that we're not used to?
No, I don't. I think that a team goes through some stretches each year. Something in the back of my mind says 116 games the Mariners won.
They did.
And I think a lot of things need to go right there. And the one thing that If you go to my expected standings board, the thing that's really surprising to me is the team that's leading baseball in defensive runs saved. The Dodgers have 20 defensive runs saved, and that they're 7 runs saved more than the next team, which are the Cubs. And I don't think they're that good defensively. I don't think they're awful, but like they're maybe mid pack. So that's helped them out a lot. And it's just, you know, the talent in this league. Even with the worst team, and you're seeing this with projections for the Nationals, and I think that everybody and their brother, including me, was down on them. They're fourth in baseball, so you see this with teams that could go in and, gosh, Gil, talk about the Dodgers. Getting back to the Dodgers, when they played the Blue Jays, I've never seen such great starting pitcher numbers in my life. And the Blue Jays took them 7 games. So yeah, I would be surprised. I mean, anything's possible, but I would be surprised if they have, I guess epic would be over 105 wins. Yeah. Is that the definition?
Yeah. Let's go with that. Yeah. I mean, that Mariners team you referenced, the 2001 Mariners, 116 wins. I just remember that season was impossible. Like, it's just, I remember, like, they would, and then they would rest people on a Sunday and they'd lose 5-0. You'd be like, this is impossible. They can't lose a game. What are they doing? It was just relentless steroid era hitting from that team at that point. And they had some professional hitters like Edgar Martinez in there as well. Let me ask about this early season, about a tenth of the way through the season, one more question, which is, in the early numbers, are there any teams that stand out as, by your metrics, as super overachieving, super underachieving. I'm thinking just from an eye test, right? The A's are kind of sneaky better than most people think they are, I think, just from an eye test. And are the Giants as bad as they look?
No, that's a good point. No, the Giants, I think, are better than that. They're 83 in weighted runs created plus. And trying to think of where I have them in the offensive rating. Yeah, no, I've got them 12th in baseball. So I think that they're closer to a 12 than a whatever that would be, 26th. And I think that there's like the Nationals. I don't see them sustaining a 117 weighted runs created plus. The Twins, another team. You know, offensively, they're six. I don't have them bad. They're like 12th, something like that. But you got to be careful with some of these numbers. The fielding numbers are the ones one that I'm amazed at. You know, so they've played. So the Dodgers have played 16 games. They've saved 20 runs, but that's a game. That's incredible. 1.5 runs per game. Yeah. So yeah.
Wow. Who's been the worst thus far, fielding wise?
The Astros. Astros are minus 11 defensive runs saved. And believe it or not, the Twins. So the Twins, the Twins 10-7 in the standards standings, but they should be based on the components, weighted runs created plus, x minus defensive runs saved, 7.1 and 9.9. So just looking at that, I think that the Twins are surprising, Gil. I don't think I was the only guy that was down on them this year.
No, you were not.
They've really cost me a lot of money this season.
What did you end up with today? Full slate of Major League Baseball. What do you got?
Well, speaking of the Twins, I'm gonna bet against them again. I mean, you have Mick Abel and you have Sonny Gray, and I think there's a big disparity in both of the pitchers. I've got Gray rated 23rd in my ratings, and then there's 150 pitchers in these ratings, and Abel's 141. And bullpen wise, I've got a big edge with the Red Sox 6th in baseball versus the Twins 22nd. I think this game should be priced closer to like minus 200 or getting it in the market at minus 130. So I'm going to play them straight. I'm going to play them in a first leg of the base winner parlay, Gil. And then the second leg, I'm going to go to the Yankees. And I think that this is one of those things where I think if this game was lined at the start of the year, I think it'd probably be closer to like minus 190, minus 195. It's minus 160 in the market based on, I don't know, 16 games. And if you look at the components, the Yankees, best team in baseball from an offensive standpoint, fourth best team in baseball from a relief standpoint. I think minus 160 in this game is a good price. And so it's Boston. God, this is a this is a blue blood parlay.
Yes,
Yankees,
it is.
Boston. Risk one to win. It looks like it's like 1.8. That's pretty decent. I'll take that.
Can you repeat those Yankees numbers? Because this is for my buddy Will Hill, who's a Yankees fan, and all these Yankees defeatists. Can you repeat those Yankees numbers you just mentioned, bullpen and offense?
I just have them ranked 25% better than an average offense, first in baseball, and then the bullpen's fourth in baseball. So okay. Those are some key components just looking outside of the starting pitching.
Yeah, I'm way more bullish on the bullpen than I think the average Yankee fan, and to hear it through Will's prism anyway, he doesn't trust that offense. But you have them number one. Is that what you just said? Number one.
Yeah, so, and yeah. It's based on ISO power. Primarily last 300 plate appearances, but I also put strikeout percentage and walk percentage in. So I think these are pretty reliable numbers. And I think offensively, they're the best team, Gil, right?
Do we have a straight bet in addition to your parlay, sir?
Yes, you always ask me that, Gil. I do. Let me take a look at this. Cleveland, I like them today. I think that they should be priced closer to like minus 145, and I think they're sitting around minus 120 right now. So I like Cleveland.
Okay. Cleveland Guardians is the straight bet from Mark. Mark, tell everybody where they can hear and when they can hear the BetUS podcast.
The BetUS MLB show, Gil, it is 9 a.m. PST, and you've got it on two platforms. One platform's called Kick, and the other platform's called Rumble. So, and I tweet it out, too. So if you follow me on Twitter, I tweet out the show, and you can get in from there.
Kick and Rumble.
Let's go.
Wow. Kick and Rumble. Sure those aren't dating sites, Mark?
Kick well, we Rumble? Got kicked. We got kicked off of YouTube because we talked about betting too much. So I guess
YouTube kicked I you guess off,
so,
yet?
Right? They did. Which is I don't know. We got that's what we got kicked off for.
Always
and maybe I rap too much. I don't know.
Maybe that was it. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Paul Carr is here, ladies and gentlemen. He made his triumphant return to the program after a strange exile that was placed upon him recently. He comes to us today to talk not only Champions League, but also Prem. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from the middle of the country, the heartland. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. We have a Premier League title race again. Very exciting for the last couple months of the season.
All right. Let's go.
Last month, what am I saying?
Let's explain this because the last time you were on, this was over, right?
Arsenal was a minus 1400 title favorite on Friday when I was on the show. They are now minus 160 and Man City is about plus 125 because Arsenal lost at home to Bournemouth and Man City won at Chelsea.
Wow.
So, you know, Arsenal basically dropped two plus projected points and City picked up a couple. So, yeah, still a six-point gap, but City hosts Arsenal Sunday, and then City has a game in hand against Burnley next week. So, this could be tied a week and a half from now.
Let's go.
Kelly just went into the dumpster and got his ticket back.
That's right.
I know. I had to tape it back together.
What's your number on it?
I think it was plus 330 for me, maybe plus 350.
And you, sir?
Something in that range.
I got 350, but I bet it right when Paul did, so right around that same number.
Yeah, all right. Right at the beginning of the season.
So we have drama. All right.
We got drama. It's great.
And one team has six games left, the other has seven?
Yeah. City's got seven left. They'll play an extra game next Wednesday, I think it is, against Burnley, and then they'll be on track the rest of the season.
Okay. We do have drama at the top of the Prem. All right, to the Champions League. All right, this is the second leg of the round of 16, correct?
Second
leg of the quarterfinals. Okay, now explain, before we get into the picks, explain the implications of that.
Yeah, so it's aggregate score. We got rid of away goals, as Kelly knows well. So you know, Atletico, for example, beat Barcelona 2-0 in the first leg. And so unless Atletico loses by 2+ in this one, Atletico's going to advance. So Barcelona's got to win by 3. If Barcelona wins by 2, they go to extra time and potentially penalty kicks.
Gotcha. Oh, that was the thing we had.
I'm laughing over you already. They got rid of away goals, well. Right? It's like 3 years ago.
And you and I, without even talking, we just went on this whole thing the rest of the segment. We're like, you know, the DH is... Okay. Odds, by the way, odds to win the Champions League before we get to your specific picks. Arsenal's plus 225. Bayern Munich from?
Das Bundesliga.
Plus 240. Yeah. PSG's at plus 275. And then everybody else is double digits. All the way down to Sporting Lisbon at 80-1.
Portugal.
There you go.
That's correct. Well done. Yeah. Okay. What are your plays here? Well, first of all, on this big board, is there a play?
Not really. I'm holding a Bayern ticket at plus, I think, 600 from before the knockout stage began. So I'm riding my German team
always
to the end. I think they're the best team right now. So
always picking the German team, this guy. Yeah. All right. What are your plays here in the second leg of the Champions League quarter?
All right. Let's start today. We're going with a prop here. And I have to hat tip Chris Felica. We were texting about this yesterday. This was kind of his idea, but I'm stealing it. Red card in Atletico Barcelona.
Oh, I saw
it. Plus 265 is the price I got yesterday. Plus 240 this morning is the one I saw, but I would still play this. Anything really north of 200, I think, is pretty good. We mentioned Atletico's up 2-0. They're going to be playing defensively. But here's the very basic, you know, math of it all. These teams have played 5 times already this season, and 3 of those games had a red card. So obviously it's a small sample size. I get that. But it just speaks to how fierce these games are. There was a red card in the first leg. There's a sense of desperation in second legs. These teams already are kind of sick of each other, don't like each other. They're obviously rivals in La Liga. So yeah, red card at plus 265, plus 240 or so. I like it. It's going to be a chippy type of game. Atletico is going to be defensive, trying not to give Barcelona anything. But Atletico is also going to have opportunities on the counter, which means, you know, Barcelona could get desperate and foul somebody again and pick up another red card. So is there a 1 in 3 chance of one team getting a red card here? I think so. So I like this price.
Isn't it Barca? Isn't it Barcelona who's been sort of complaining about this also actively?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. They've been, you know, it's the old, you know, coach talking to the official before the game kind of thing, trying to plant those seeds in the media. So yeah, Barcelona wasn't real happy with the red card, which I think was deserved in the first leg, but they're chirping about, you know, they want things to balance out and all that. So if it does, or if it doesn't and goes the other way and, you know, double down on Atletico, wouldn't surprise me either.
All right, red card, plus 265.
Can't remember if it was Chris or Paul now before who's brought this prop up before, but add this to the list of easiest bets to talk Kelly into, because, like, I get to turn on a soccer game and root for a fight.
And root for a,
like,
red
root
card.
For a fight to just break out. Like, great. All right,
the joy of seeing the official put it up in the air. Okay,
it is fun. The drama when there's a foul and you know a card's coming and you got to wait to see what card pulls out. That's always fun.
Go red. All right.
Oh, it's yellow. Oh, come on.
That constant. What is the Steratour line? That rises to the level of a red card. Yeah. That's always his line. Right. Okay, that's the day. Atletico Barcelona red card plus 265. Atletico won the first leg 2-0 in Barcelona. Then tomorrow you have a couple plays, both totals.
Yep, we'll start with Arsenal and Sporting. So Arsenal won the first leg 1-0 in Portugal. Got a goal in stoppage time. It was a very blah game. I think not a lot of shots, under 2 expected goals total, only 2 or 3 really decent chances. It's exactly what Arsenal wanted, and it's exactly what Arsenal is going to try to do again, is just, you know, turn this into a rock fight, as you like to say. It's what Arsenal kind of does. They also have injuries. You know, Declan Rice, key midfielder, probably isn't going to play. Bukayo Saka, their best attacker, is in doubt, so we're not sure if we're going to see him. So, I mean, Arsenal is just going to turn this, they're going to drag this out. You know, they've been kind of derided for stalling a lot on corner kicks and throw-ins. They're going to do more of that. It's going to be kind of a snore fest. I would not watch this game and watch the other one we're going to talk about. And remember, Arsenal goes through if this is 1-1. That's enough for Arsenal, any kind of draw. So, you know, they get a goal, give up a goal, send it 1-1. They are going to shut this game down. So under 2.5 is my play at even money. You can find that out there. You want to get crazy and play under 1.5 at like 300 or so, I don't mind it. Man. But under 2.5 is my play.
Nothing like an old soccer game. It's just a kickball game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're looking for. Under
this,
two.
This won't be pretty.
Under 2.5 goals at even money. You feel differently about, though, the Bayern Munich game.
This is kind of the opposite. So, you know, Arsenal is trying to defend a lead. They just shut it down. Bayern's trying to defend a lead, and they decide to go get more goals. We saw that in the first leg, or the previous round, round 16. They beat Atalanta 6-1 in the first leg and then came home and won 4-1 in the second leg. So they don't really have, you know, the defensive mindset Arsenal does, obviously. And Bayern won this first leg 2-1 in Madrid. And, you know, Real Madrid has this devil magic in Champions League that I realize I'm going against, but I think Bayern is just going to keep the foot on the gas because their attack is better than their defense. So I'm playing Bayern Munich team total over 2.5 goals at plus 105. They've scored 3 in 5 of their 6 home games in Champions League this season. They had 3 expected goals in Madrid. Madrid's got Tchouaméni is suspended, one of their key defensive midfielders. So I don't know how they can slow Bayern down. And I think Bayern's just going to keep running and gunning and score at least 3.
All right. Today, Atletico Barcelona red card plus 265. Tomorrow, Arsenal Sporting under 2.5 goals at even money. Arsenal won the first leg 1-0 stoppage time in Lisbon. And then Bayern Munich over 2.5 goals versus Real Madrid. Bayern won the first leg 2-1 in Madrid. Before you go here, last minute, Paul, World Cup approaching fast. Let's make it a sort of U.S. centric sort of topic here. Last time we won a knockout game was when Landon Donovan was playing, right? It was all those years ago. What year was that? Yep.
2002.
Oh, good God. I remember people spilling out of the bars in San Francisco. I mean, people really get behind it. Is this the year where the U.S. wins a knockout game for the first time since then?
I mean, it should be. It's the easiest path the U.S. has to get to the knockout stage that they've had. I mean, part of it is the expansion of the tournament. Part of it is because they're a host, and so they get a little bit of an easier draw. There's no world power. There's no Germany, Portugal type like they have in a lot of groups. So just getting out of the group, if they don't get out of the group, it's a catastrophe of a tournament. And then you're kind of at the whims of who you draw. You know, they could win the group and get some powerful team. But if you win the group, you're playing a third place team, which probably means they're not as good. And the U.S. definitely can win this group. I think Turkey might be a slight favorite, but the U.S. has a great shot to win the group. And even if they finish second, they're probably not playing a world power. So I mean, this is as good as an opportunity as they will ever have on paper of winning at least one knockout game.
Who did we beat in 2002 in the knockout game? 16? Round of 16?
Mexico,
that's right. And then
was
it the next game where Felica was actively betting against the U.S.? Was that the one?
That was 2010. The group finale. He was on Algeria.
Algeria. Famously on Algeria. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Algeria. Yep.